This is VSiN by the Books on VSiN, the sports betting network.
We begin the Wednesday edition. It is VSiN by the Books. Dave Ross here, downtown Las Vegas at Circus Sports. He is our closer, Jensen Lewis, back home in Cleveland, Ohio. Jensen, we're ending seasons. We're getting ready for new seasons. It's the changing of the seasons, if you will, here in the sports calendar, as it all comes to a head last night down there in Florida. We've got a great show lineup today here on this Wednesday. Going to have Cody Decker join us here to talk Major League Baseball. Paul Bruno, we call him the Beast. He's a really nice guy. North of the border from RotoWire. Talk about how things ended up last night in Florida. And Jensen, he's also a big Cowboy fan. I might try to sneak in a question there to Paul about America's team down here for football. Joe Serrano is going to join the program. Let's go, Joe. Great to have Joe on the program here. Of course, our VSiN host to talk all things Major League Baseball as well. And get ready for our Wednesdays with Wes. Yeah, we might have just had the U.S. Open, but we're on to the Travelers. It is an elevated event. We'll get to our Wednesday thoughts with Wes before they tee that up tomorrow. But without further ado, let's get to it. Our highlights and headlines.
Help your bottom line with today's highlights and headlines.
It's a big one, Jensen. It's back-to-back. When you go to three Stanley Cups in a row and you win the last two, Lord Stanley's Cup is staying south of the border, as the United States is going to keep it again since 1993. Florida going back-to-back. Pretty easy victory last night, 5-1. The under actually hits for the first time there, but I know you were on the puck line on Florida. Never a sweat. Sam Bennett wins the Conn Smythe. Jensen Lewis, what'd you make of this one? It really felt like it was never in doubt after those first two first-period tallies.
Yeah, I would agree, buddy. And I think the way that we looked at it yesterday, once we found out that Stuart Skinner was going to be in goal, that kind of led our thought process to, all right, if that's the case, then Edmonton better get out early. And ironically, you know, the first couple of saves from Bobrovsky looked a little nervy in his own right, you know, just kind of some caroms off the pads and not knowing where the puck is once or twice. But after that, he saw everything in high def, my friend. It was just a tale of really two different clubs. And if Edmonton was going to win, I think you and I both agree they'd have to get an early lead within that first 5 minutes, just try and get some semblance of sanity, but none to be found there. And Sammy Reinhart, come on down. Your table's ready. What a finishing performance. But as you said, Sam Bennett, I thought our actual way that we workshopped Bobrovsky might get there, it was all right for the taking. It was just remarkable to see how it finished up. But by and large, as you and I know, in a Lewis Ross administration, the cup is in its rightful place here in the great U.S. of A. Congratulations, state of Florida. You are Hockey Town, USA.
It's amazing. It really is amazing what's happening down there in Florida from the Lightning and now the Panthers with three in a row and winning the Cup twice in a row. And you mentioned that with Sam Reinhart with those four goals. Had not seen that in the Stanley Cup final since 1957. And I believe since a clinching game in the Stanley Cup to get four goals since the 1920s. So you're talking like, and I started to hear on the broadcast team, and by the way, kudos to NHL on TNT. I thought their coverage was outstanding, especially when you go in intermissions and you go back to Wayne Gretzky and Henrik Lundqvist and my old buddy Anson Carter. I used to do shows with him in Chicago, like seeing those guys up there and hearing Wayne Gretzky's perspective and a goaltender's perspective, like the King, Henrik Lundqvist. I thought they nailed it. And even Gretzky said what we said yesterday, Jensen, that when you're going into a game five or now a game six and you don't know who your starting goaltender is, and we talked about it a lot in the program yesterday, it was just hard to back Edmonton. It was really hard to back them when you kind of felt like the organization, certainly the head coach and the team themselves, didn't know what they were going to do. And again, this doesn't all fall certainly on the goaltending here when you keep falling behind like they did 1-0, 2-0, give up a couple empty netters there. So that's not going to go against Stuart Skinner's ledger. But still, it just felt like they were not in a good headspace overall to try to pull out from this 3-2 hole. So it's 4-2 win here. And again, we mentioned Tkachuk, Reinhart's heroics. How about Matthew Tkachuk too? He gets the game-clinching and cap-clinching goal, if you will. The Bobbers, we mentioned, 28 saves, almost got that shutout. And Jensen, the other thing is, they do normally put those tabulates in about 10 minutes to go in regulation. I don't like that because I kind of feel like you're not getting, I know you're getting the majority of the story, but not the whole story here. And I did hear Gretzky say you could have had almost five guys that you could have chosen to give the Conn Smythe to. So I think even though Bennett was the betting favorite, we saw it get shortened a little bit. I think what Gretzky was alluding to is what we were alluding to, that there were many different ways to go if Bennett didn't get a tally, which he did not last night.
Yeah, agreed. And again, Bobrovsky could have been that first Conn Smythe winner since Andre Vasilevsky, right, in 2020 and 2021 with the Lightning. I just wanted to go back and look and see just overall, Dave, of course, with the great Patrick Roy with three Conn Smythe trophies his name, the most in NHL history. And then you mentioned a great one. And Wayne, I mean, how about some of these names, too, that have had multiple Conn Smythe winners or trophies? Sidney Crosby, Wayne Gretzky, of course, Super Mario, Mario Lemieux, Bobby Orr. You know, there's only five guys that have two and six that have two or more. And again, Patrick Roy, goaltender, with the most at three. But hey, congratulations, Florida Panthers. Somehow they are not installed as the betting favorite for next year's Stanley Cup winner. So interesting to see where those odds may shift over this offseason.
Yeah, and we'll see if we can get that from Paul Bruno a little bit too, as you look ahead to next year already. We talked about with Tampa Bay and their runs, like, when does it catch up with you? All those, that extra ice time that you've had, a 30 in a row. We talk about with the Chiefs, certainly in the NFL as well. Well, maybe some of the wear and tear has finally caught up to Tyrese Halliburton, because not good news for Indiana as they get ready for the season's on the line tomorrow night back in Indiana. Don't know if he's going to be able to go here. So Halliburton does have a strained right calf. He's going to go undergo an MRI. He's going to determine the severity of that injury. But Jensen, again, when we were talking yesterday and kind of wrapping up game five, I kind of felt like, boy, when you don't knock down a shot, nary a shot, and you only take six, and I know you're trying to gut it out here, I guess that now tells the bigger story. I mean, it's not all on the injury, I'm sure, but I'm sure a lot of it was too, predicated on that. What do you make of Indiana? Would you play him if he can go, or would you rather just sit him and say, you know what, we're going to have to go with our backups, and right now our backup point guard isn't too shabby.
Yeah, and TD McConnell, I'm sure, will be targeted in so many different player prop areas here as we move forward until that official word comes out. And if I'm Indiana, no reason to announce anything here until you absolutely are bound to do so. I mean, you want that gamesmanship to be able to go up to the last possible moments. And in the in-between here, Dave, the medical people, I'm sure, are doing everything possible, whatever treatments can be done in such a short amount of time. But you and I both know, like, Cavs are just, I remember this in baseball too, at position players. You know, Josh Donaldson comes right to mind of a guy who was just so plagued by calf injuries. Mike Trout has had the same issue throughout his tenure. You're just not the same, man. And in this short amount of turnaround time with the wear and tear that's already happened, I think it's a great point that you mentioned is, you know, if you got to go with the backups, not too shabby McConnell. I'd throw it back to you with this idea. Do we have a position in which we know Oklahoma City has been just horrendous in the playoffs on the road covering the number? Do you just think public money continues to pile in and say, all right, if we continue to get reports that Halliburton's out, even if he's a wounded duck, you almost feel that it's better to start from minute number one with McConnell so that there's, you know, consistency through that group. Do we see this thing climb to maybe eight, you know, here for the Thunder by tip time if we find out that Halliburton is not a go?
Already up to 6.5. Total is down, by the way, to 222.5 here for this potential clinching scenario for OKC. And that's something you and I and Danny Higgins, our producer, we were talking about this week, is like, what's that number going to go to? And already up to 6.5, I theorize, like you, that it could be 7, 8 before you get to tip here. So if you're on the Pacer side and you really think you can somehow, you know, stem the tide here, use emotion in that one game. And normally sometimes teams do without their superstar for one game. They're normally able somehow to hang in there, but normally two might be a little bit too much to ask for. So we'll see where those numbers go. And we'll see the severity of that injury for Tyrese Halliburton. How about this? The Cardinal, Louisville is still alive in the College World Series, but this is interesting. Tanner Shriver, his wedding for the Ville is, I say again, his wedding is in 3 days. So he's been a big-time contributor to this roster, of course. The team, the coaching staff, undoubtedly supportive of his situation. understanding the importance of such a significant life event. Let's hear first and foremost about Louisville and what they're going to do here with Tanner Shriver's impending nuptials.
Things in place. Luckily, my tux came in early, so I got to get it before I left. So, but the pants didn't fit. So I have 3 pairs of pants I gotta figure out. Hopefully, one of them fits me. And so luckily I got my pants already, and I just gotta have to put on my tux and shave, and I should be good.
I don't know if he needs to shave. I think he can save that step. Doesn't look like it's necessary. Do we have a hangover situation? We'd be passing pants through cars right here to try to get this kid to the wedding?
That's exactly what came to mind for me. Is like, oh, no, we messed up. Okay, now we got to call a guy. You're just going on the highway here.
What
a story. First and foremost, if you did not see the finish to yesterday's game between Oregon State and Louisville, what a ninth inning to remember. And Oregon State already been part of, one of the dramatic finishes in this College World Series. We're down to the final four. Good luck to Tanner Shriver and the rest of Louisville. They take on Coastal today. Very interesting line here. And if you like offense, I think we potentially could see it there in that first one. And then also, hey, the SEC guaranteed a team for all the overrated chance. Day we get Arkansas LSU, and LSU wins, they go to the College World Series final.
I want to expand on that a little bit when we come back and talk a little bit more about that. But good luck to you, Tanner Shriver. Hopefully you will be there with correct pants, the right length, before your big day in 3 days. Let's talk more about that and also the NBA Game 6. That's next year, Visa by the Books.
Tuned in to VSiN by the Books, right here on VSiN.
We are back, VSiN by the Books, on this Wednesday edition. Dave Ross and Jensen Lewis here. We were talking about Louisville. We got a young man getting ready to get married in 3 days. And by the way, the team's still alive. Louisville's still kicking here in the College World Series. Jensen, tell us where we are at this stage now. And you mentioned some of those heroics that you witnessed last night. How is this shaping out now? And again, the SEC's still kicking. Maybe the rumors of their demise greatly exaggerated.
I would agree. And again, kind of that cream of the crop. We talked about when the College World Series field was finalized, that these were the two teams you focused on. And certainly from an odds perspective, those were the two you felt. And really the only caveat, Dave, was they were playing head-to-head in that first game.
Right.
And we suggested to people that if you waited from an odds perspective in the futures market, wait to see who loses that game and then back them or roll their money lines over, because in the double elimination format, they'd obviously have to win out to be able to get to the College World Series final. And then you'd have a potential hedge if you took a team or two from the other side that got through. So here we are, Final Four right now. Here's the stakes. So 2:05 first pitch Eastern today. Louisville must beat Coastal Carolina to stay alive. If Coastal wins, they are in to the weekend. On Saturday, in which that will be game one of the College World Series final. Same stakes are for the nightcap, Arkansas and LSU. Arkansas must win to stay alive. If LSU wins, then LSU is through. Here's what will happen, Dave. If both Coastal Carolina and LSU win tonight, we get a couple off days until that best of three starts over the weekend. If we get winners here, they will play again tomorrow and then the off day on Friday, and then we shall see who ends up matching up for the national title in the College World Series final.
I mean, if you're LSU, right, and you've already beaten Arkansas once in that first game to begin this, could it be any sweet? I mean, obviously winning is going to be the sweetest nectar of all. But if you could eliminate Arkansas, like how much do you think that motivating factor is to get rid of our SEC brethren today?
I mean, again, it is a big rivalry considering, you know, where they are and in divisions. We think of football, too, where Arkansas and LSU in the SEC West there. So overall, these were two of the best teams in college baseball at the end of the season. Here's what I like tonight, Dave. I do like the Hogs to avoid elimination. And what I did is right now on DraftKings, the run line is kind of a standard major league run line, 1.5 plus $1.35. The total of 10.5. I went to the alternate line. I went to a -1. So two bites at the apple here. You can lay, it's a short money line price here at $1.30. But I just feel the way that Arkansas's pitching sets up right now. And of course, the legend of Gage Wood, throwing the no hitter just a couple of days ago, he will not be starting tonight, obviously. But I do feel that where Arkansas is positioned, they do have enough power pitching here to limit LSU's offense. Conversely, I think when you look at Louisville and Coastal Carolina for the first game this afternoon, I think we can see, you talk about power pitching, Coastal's pitching has been phenomenal. They probably haven't gotten enough credit nationally all year, but they will certainly get that if they find a way past Louisville today. I do lean the under 11 in that contest. And again, you see two double-digit totals here. Mm-hmm. As the weather starts to warm, the humidity is going to creep in. And Dave, right there at the Chuck at Charles Schwab Field, ball's going to start to carry a little bit more. Now the temperatures are starting to get up there a little bit, so something to watch here. But I do feel that Coastal's pitching will be able to limit the Louisville offense, much in the same respect that Arkansas, I think, limits LSU's offensive attack too.
And if you're Louisville and you've got Tanner Shriver having that wedding in 3 days, he's got the chance to win a couple rings in the next week or so.
Like, ring season.
It's ring season, right, for young Tanner. Would you think any of the guys, like, that is that like a talking point? It's got to be a talking point if one of your teammates is getting married in 3 days, in the College World Series, right?
No doubt. And again, the funny part is, what do you do if Louisville wins another two games?
What do you do?
They've probably talked about that. Mama and his fiance has talked about it as well. So whatever the contingency plan is, hang in there. Let's take care of today, and then we'll worry about tomorrow.
What's the great scene in Bull Durham when they go to the mound and they're like, they're all worried about what they're going to get for one of their teammates for the wedding? Well, I think exactly. You can always get, I can't remember the exact lines, but they start having a debate there on the pitcher's mound of what to give their teammate. I wonder if some of the Louisville players are acting that out from Bull Durham right now. We mentioned the big news here before game six. That's going to be tomorrow night back in Indiana for the Pacers and the Thunder. And it is significant news here. Tyrese Halliburton, we don't know if he's going to be able to go. And that's why you've seen this number move up. Remember yesterday, it was down to 4.5. Indiana was taking money. And then all of a sudden with this Halliburton news, again, MRI to see the severity of his injury, whether or not he can go or not. And, I think you and I were a little bit quizzical yesterday when we heard Rick Carlisle's comments that TJ McConnell was, quote, tired. And that's why he took out McConnell in the fourth quarter when they made this push. They'd cut it to 2 in game 5 in the Siakam 3. And you're like, Halliburton really didn't have it tonight. Why don't you just stick with McConnell? I wonder if he was running cover a little bit for the injury, knowing that he was injured. And certainly they had to know that he's not right. And we saw some shots of him on the sidelines, and you could tell something was amiss, certainly with Tyrese. But I wonder if that's what that was, because now if Halliburton can't go and Carlisle was being truthful and 22 minutes was a problem for TJ McConnell, I guess, Jensen, the real question would be, if he's got to play, he will have to play significant minutes no matter what. And we know the way that McConnell plays, it is different. Halliburton, it kind of flows a little bit, kind of looks effortless. McConnell, it looks like there is max effort being exuded each time up and down the floor. Is that part of the handicap now that, man, they can, with their Oklahoma City's defense, they can really smother McConnell now, and that's where the focus goes to cut off the head of the snake?
I mean, it just from the volume perspective, you would believe that some overs will definitely be in play. And hey, you got 14 shots off anyway, in game 5. So it's not like he was shy about putting it up there. So I did look at his rebounds. I just off the beaten path here, because I would assume that his points number skyrockets if indeed we get more confirming reports that Halliburton is either doubtful and or out. The rebounds assist number jumps out to me here, Dave. Over 8 right now, $1.35, over 7.5 at DraftKings, to get 8 or more rebounds and assists combined. I think maybe regardless of what Halliburton's status is, that's definitely a spot that I like here. The other part is a Miles Turner. These really jumped out to me. I don't know why rebounds were on my mind this morning. Miles Turner, Aaron Nesmith, and Obi Toppin. Can I interest you for all those guys, and particularly Toppin, because he's been pretty solid with the number. 5 or more rebounds. Toppin, you can get $1.45 right now. at DraftKings. Neesmith, $1.54. Same with Miles Turner. Last five, Toppin has hit that in four of the last five games, of course. Turner and Neesmith, I think, in unique spots to be able to do that here. I just think you and I agree there's a sense of urgency here, regardless of what Halliburton is here. That first quarter, all of a sudden, as far as the handicap goes, you would feel that it's a Pacer spread, you know, that that you might want to look at. Just they have to get out quickly, right? Outside of, I mean, it's very similar to what we saw in Edmonton.
Sure.
Edmonton doesn't get out or get a goal yesterday.
Felt like it was over.
Just a listless ship. Yeah. Yep. I mean, they're nothing there. No continuity whatsoever.
You know, I've already heard, and this is what happens in this business, not necessarily ours, but more talk radio type things where they're like, oh, Halliburton was playing hero ball and he was hurting the team. And I'm like, yeah, are you like Jensen, come on. Nobody in that locker room is thinking that. They're thinking he's trying to go out right there and help us win, right? So, yeah, it wasn't a good performance. And if he's really damaged goods, I understand it. But it didn't seem like it was that severe that, he, you know, this wasn't like a situation where, you know, the Knicks are going to call, you know, this is going to be like the 1970s and we'll pull a guy off the bench, can't play anymore. I mean, it doesn't seem like it's going to be something like that. It just seemed like a guy that was trying to help his teammates. We're not questioning Tyrese Halliburton and whether or not he should have played in game five, are we?
No, not at all. And again, it's the finals.
Yeah, right.
You're going to do whatever you have to. You are the face of that franchise, or at least you are with Pascal Siakam, the one of the two most important guys on the court. And even at 70%, 50%, whatever he was, you're still one of the better options. So no, it's not hero ball. And again, from people that have never played it at that level, always hysterical to hear them. Like, you go ahead and get out there and see right what you would do. And where's your heart? More importantly, you know, would you have heart of a champion right there to try and gut it out as much as possible? Because you've come this far, you put in all this work. So I think though the medical people, Dave, will do everything possible to get him as close to 100%. I don't think he'll be there. But that first quarter, boy, if he is able to go, a very, very large indicator, that might be a great live prop spot, right? Is, you know, if you want to play unders coming in, and take the risk that Halliburton at least gets to play, that might be an angle to attack as well.
Hey, Michael, it's only game six here in Utah. I know you got the flu. Why don't you just sit this one out? We'll get you in game
six.
No, ain't happening. These guys are going to play. VSiN.com, check it out right now. For as little as $9.99, get access to all of our pro articles, including Greg Peterson, Major League Baseball. Zachary Cohen's got you covered for game six. Wes Reynolds with those Travelers picks, and he's coming up on the show later on today. So, again, go to VSiN.com/subscribe, $9.99 to get started today.
You're tuned in to VSiN by the Books right here on VSiN.
We are back. VSiN by the Books. Dave Ross, Jensen Lewis here. Jensen, the problem is me. I'm the problem. You said on this program 2 days ago, you might want to hold off on jumping on that San Diego 11-1 to win the division. And I'm thinking, man, come on, this number is not going to get a whole lot better than this. Two big game, big series starting off with the Dodgers. Let's say they win the first two. Where does that number go? They've lost the first two. Padres have lost the first two. So 2 days ago, I was so excited to get that. I got it here at Circa at plus 1175, figuring that was going to be the best number here, Jensen. And now, after two losses in a row, I could have gotten a much better number. Now they're five games back. I'm looking at it now. They're 20-1 to win the division. That is 48 hours later.
Ugh.
With two consecutive losses. That is a dagger to my baseball heart right there. They've gone from 11-1 to 20-1 with two consecutive losses.
Well, take heart. As I've told you, within it's ironic here. You're 20-1 to win the division, yet 16-1 to win the National League.
How about that?
Yeah, and that's kind of where our exercise for people who have listened to us throughout the season was that if you envision that the Giants, let's just take this for people that weren't with us for the conversation. So if you take the idea of the Dodgers become the one seed, let's say that the Giants and Padres, however they finished, are 4-5. So you have the top two wild cards. That matchup is locked in. So the winner of the 4-5 takes on the one. You have either a 12-1 or 16-1 future. If you take the ticket today to win the National League, you have a 12-1 we're 16-1 future up against the Dodgers, and you can hedge if you like, and at least get you, you know, some profit. You could take a series price there. I don't think it would be astronomical, Dave, in a best of five for the Dodgers having home field. But, and then, you know, somehow you get the upset. Now you have guaranteed profit on the other side, because in all likelihood, unless it's the Mets or the Cubs, Dave, I can't envision a spot where, you know, they would, either the Giants nor the Padres would be an underdog other than a matchup against, you know, whoever the 2 seed or the 3 seed would be. Because if that 6 seed wild card comes out, then obviously the Giants or Padres will have home field advantage in the NLCS.
Devers, it looks like that ballpark is going to be perfect for him. A big double yesterday, driving a run, right? But they do lose 3-2 to the Guardians. I am a little surprised here because, again, when I made that wager 2 days ago in the Padres, the same number was available to me for the Giants, for the division. And yet, even with that loss and the Dodgers winning 2 in a row, look where the Giants' number has gone. It's been shorted almost $3 in the marketplace, down to 8-1 to win the division, 12-1 to win the NLCS. So, is that just the Devers effect, that they're going to say, I forget about the early returns here in this first series against Cleveland. That guy is going to move that market $3 to the way of the Giants in the division.
Well, and it's more so, Dave, of what Devers brings in the lineup, and knowing you could have not only him, but Chapman and Willie Adames and Elliot Ramos, Jung-Hoo Lee. You know, if they get also another bat potentially at the bottom of that lineup, the way their pitching is going, I mean, look out. Yeah, in a short series, that can be a dominant group, knowing how they play in their home ballpark too.
Okay, so that's going to be a fascinating watch here. But the Dodgers winning 2 in a row. Look at them now, 16 games over 500. You'd have to lay 750 for the Dodgers right now to win that division again. The Giants at 8-1, and the Padres now 20-1. And don't forget about the Diamondbacks back to 500, 30-1 after losing north of the border in Toronto. Let's talk to a man who played in San Diego, knows all about it. Cody Decker, of course, former major leaguer, joins us here on the Progressive Guest Line. Give him a follow, as I do, at Cody. What's your handle here? You've got Decker 6, if my eyes are not deceiving me. Is that correct?
Correct. Decker 6 on Twitter, Anti-Hero Baseball on Instagram. And yes, follow me on Instagram, where you can find some sweet boxing videos and just see a Jack Daddy getting everything done in New York City.
Whoa. Okay, I'm going to have to check. I'm not on the gram as much, but Cody, I'm going to check that out, see what type of skills you have with those hands. We were talking a little bit about what's going on in the West now with the big Devers move that we talked about earlier this week, too. Does that change the equation for you, Cody? Do you really look at the Giants now? Let's say if you don't like the 8-1 to win the division, 12-1 to win the pennant, do you put the Giants in that upper echelon now with the Dodgers and or Mets and Cubs?
I put them in an echelon. I don't know if the upper echelon is exactly where they belong just yet. They did fall back, what, 4 games to the Dodgers after actually toppling the Dodgers for a very, very short time of 24 hours. At the end of the day, this Giants team is very good. It's very talented. Yes, adding a bat like Rafi Devers into that lineup is going to be very good, especially for the short term. I know this is not what you were expecting to hear from me or probably from most people. I think this is the greatest thing that's ever happened to the Boston Red Sox.
Wow.
That's probably
the guy
where we go,
play.
Cody.
What do you?
Yeah,
you know, if the guy doesn't want to play, what are you going to do?
Yeah, and again, to kind of your idea, and it is a perspective that I think people need to kind of, if not consume, be able to relatively understand for what it does in the short term and the long term from a payroll flexibility standpoint. So again, we've talked on this program. You have Roman Anthony, Marcelo Meyer, and Christian Campbell up. Campbell's already got his extension. Roman Anthony hopefully could be that foundation they can build on for the future, along with potentially getting Alex Bregman, even if he does opt out to want to come back because he's had an unbelievable start before the injury. Yes. Red Sox just a half game out of the postseason spot. I would have to believe that there is a domino effect here. Should they continue on this path? Remember, they just swept the Yankees. That there will be movement here. Craig Breslow can kind of make everyone forget about Devers if they put the pieces in place to get this team back into the postseason and potentially to the World Series.
Yeah, and I really think people need to look at this Devers thing as a much more long-term scenario. I get that this hurts in the short term. I get you're taking that bat out of this lineup right now is a very ugly thing, but you just mentioned those names, those hot prospects that they're bringing up. That Roman Anthony, I interviewed this kid last year. This kid is wise above his years, and I really hope he turns out to be the superstar that they expect him to be. But at the end of the day, you got a player over there that they have to spend another $250 million on, who can only DH. And when they asked him to take ground balls, he refused to do so, but arrives in San Francisco saying he'll do whatever it takes. Look no further than what the actual Red Sox players' reaction was when they told them, the players, and they said, you don't owe us an explanation. Let's keep rolling. I think this is a good thing for the Red Sox, definitely in the long term because of the flexibility, because frankly, you need more than $250 million allocated to just a DH, especially one that's unruly. At the end of the day, when you know this better than anybody, man. When you're Major League Baseball has freedom for their players. Everybody talks about player empowerment, and player empowerment can be seen many different ways. You look at the NBA, players have a very strong voice. They have a little bit more say of where they can go and what they can do. In Major League Baseball, their player empowerment is money, guaranteed, unlimited money. You want to keep the guaranteed, unlimited money? Then when they ask you to do something, you say, okay.
Cody, I'm looking at this division now. Red Sox took it on the chin yesterday, but the Blue Jays with a nice comeback win. They're only now three games back of the Yankees, who still can't score. Well, I don't know what's going on there in the boogie down. But all of a sudden, the Rays at 6-1, the Jays at 6-1, even the Red Sox hopping back at 17-1. I know it's much longer. Is this really going to be a race in the AL East, or is this just a really bad stretch of baseball for the Bronx Bombers?
I think it's one of those things. I know this is lazy to say it, but it's where two things can be true at the same time. I think it's been a bad stretch for the Bronx Bombers, and I do think other teams are going to get back into this a little bit. At the end of the day, this is a Yankee team without a Gerrit Cole, which will eventually hurt them. But I'm looking at this trade market really interested in seeing what's going to happen, because I think the Braves are getting involved in the trade market. If that happens, this is going to be a fascinating, fascinating trade market. If the Diamondbacks get involved with the trade market, like I now think they're going to be, this is going to be a very fascinating trade market. The moment Braves say the word Chris Sale, the Yankees are going to throw everything under the sun at it, as will everybody else. I just need the word Chris Sale named, because the Blue Jays will be in on that. The Rays might be in on that. The Red Sox will get in on that. And the Yankees, the entire AL East will get in on this.
And I'll throw one more team in there to you, the Houston Astros, who everyone seems to forget about. And yet here we are. And Cody, we watched enough back when they were the villains with the trash cans and everything. And they were getting to the ALCS with regularity. You know, Dana Brown has always been so shrewd about that. Last 30 seconds, buddy. How do we see that American League West? I know we've talked Mariners and stuff. Do we still get a pulse of the Rangers? And where does it stand for you?
You know, the other team that I thought could be a potential seller because they have pieces to sell is the Texas Rangers. But I can't justify it. This is such a bad division. I feel like the Rangers should only add on and try to take this division. The Astros are vulnerable. But if the Astros go in this trade market the way the Rangers and frankly the Mariners should, it could be anybody's game. If somebody can just get a serious bat, another arm, the Mariners need to get their arms back in shape all of a sudden. The one thing that they're good at, they simply can't do anymore. I think everybody in this division needs to be a buyer, because everybody in this division is bad.
Heavy bag or speed bag, Cody? Which do you prefer?
Switch bag and what? Oh, speed bag. Nope. Heavy bag, power. I'm all, daddy's about power, baby.
Wait, give out the gram again. Gotta go, but what's the gram?
Anti-hero baseball, biceps and punches, baby.
There
join
he
me.
Is. Cody Decker, we're back in a moment.
You're tuned in to VSiN by the Books, right here on VSiN.
We are back, VSiN by the Books. Enjoyed that conversation with Cody Decker, talking all things Major League Baseball in the last segment. We've got a great guest list coming up here for the remainder of the show as well. Paul Bruno, north of the border in Canada, as we break down what happened and why Canada still doesn't have a Stanley Cup champion since 1993. Can you believe that? Joe Cirillo is going to join the program as well in hour number three. I'll catch up with Joe and all his Major League Baseball takes. I know he had a rough day yesterday, but he's been red hot with that exception. And then Wes Reynolds is going to join us as well in hour number three to break down everything that we're going to see in the Travelers coming up this week as the PGA Tour. Now we go back to an elevated event coming on the heels of the U.S. Open. That's always interesting to me. There's no real easy, you know, 1 week break or anything like that. They go right back to a big time event there in Hartford. Again, if you want to bet the ponies as well, I got you covered with our friends over at First Bet. So right now, when you sign up at firstbet.com, you use the number one, stbet.com, use the promo code VSIN200. You're going to score a 20% rebate on all of your wagers for the first 60 days, up to $200. So do not miss out. Bet smarter today at firstbet.com. Jensen, Adam Burke is, I shouldn't give out his location. Let's just say he does an annual trip and he gets out of the country, man. So he is enjoying life. And we've got our NFL betting guide is going to be released here at the network. If you're not a VSiN Pro subscriber and you want to take football seriously, you need to be before July 1st because that's when the guide is coming out. And you and I know, got on the good foot yesterday and did some write-ups yesterday for that guide. Now, we can't, because Adam doesn't want us to give away all of our selections, right? That's why we want to make sure, as a VSiN Pro subscriber, you'll have access to all of this and the betting guide. So we're not going to give it all away, but when you were doing your write-ups, what did you find? And I know with some of the wagers that we've already have in pocket here for the upcoming NFL season, what else did you find as you kind of summarized some of your best bets?
So as I went through potential teams to make the playoffs, to win their respective conferences, and then also going through, you know, potential Super Bowl winners. Ironically, you know, the Eagles were really high for me. I did not pick them to win the NFC, did not pick them to return to trying to defend the title. But I did see some intriguing spots in teams we've talked about already. And I do feel the NFC could play out slightly differently than maybe the chalk would tell you. Again, the AFC feels a bit more wide open, but I do think we see a changing of the guard in one division. I don't think that's going to be a shocker where people think that might come from.
Good tease.
I do feel that some of the wild card teams present some real problems in the AFC for division winners. And overall, I think I'm really happy with where I can still write. I know that's as a Vanderbilt guy, I'm like, I
can still do this.
Like, this is great. I love doing the numbers, but the written word.
Yes.
You know, I wanted to start with four score. Word.
Yes.
But no, very exciting. Really thrilled to be part of the betting guide this year. My first go around with it. Your picks, and I saw what you wrote as well. Very on brand for you, and I'm sure people will know what that is for that watch the show. But buddy, we're here, man. Not only for the NFL, but the college ranks here. We're getting fired up here in the next couple of weeks.
Yeah, I'm right there with you. It is enjoyable to get that free form to kind of write, and you'll see it all there in the betting guide from me and Jensen and everybody here from VSiN. So all of our hosts going to have all of their picks out there for you. I will just say this. One of them is a Maverick play, as I like to call it, as you and I talk a lot about Top Gun. It's either going to be, below the hard decks does not count. It's either going to be a crash and burn scenario, Mav, or it's going to be at the end, baby, and our name's going to be on that top of that Top Gun trophy. So one of those plays out there for you. And again, when you become a VSiN Pro subscriber, you'll have access to all of that. That will come out on July 1st. You mentioned college football here, and let's get to it, because obviously now Ohio State as the reigning defendings, and last year was the first iteration of the expanded playoff. And now we know, Jensen, that college football is going to be tweaking this. We thought they would. Does that change at all the way you handicap that first and foremost? Or is that so far down the distance that you go, you know what, I'm not going to worry about the new playoff format. I'm going to worry about who I think can actually get to that college football playoff first to eventually cash some of these future wagers?
Yeah, it's certainly the latter. And as we know, you know, now you kind of look at where the SEC and the Big Ten, their setups are, and potentially with the reseeding, I'm not sure that it really drastically affects, you know, how I would look at it. So I wrote down some favorites, what I call some value selections, and then potentially some dark horse candidates. And it's going to be very chalky early because, again, we're this far out. But Ohio State, Texas, and Georgia, just three teams that I do feel from a depth perspective. Heck, we know what Texas has already spent in NIL for their roster for this year. Very, very much imitation, the sincerest form of flattery for what Ohio State did with their roster last year. So the Longhorns, they mean business and every bottom dollar. We'll go to trying to get that national championship with Arch Manning. My value selections, and anxious to see what Jim Knowles does in Penn State, in Happy Valley, and knowing all that he does from being with the Buckeyes, how does that help James Franklin and company to win one more big game, as we like to tease Mike Palm about. The Ducks, right? Oregon continues to be a team that will find a way to be in there and not only be in the conversation, but has a force to be reckoned with. Marcus Freeman and company, what a banner season, right? 12-1. I think anytime you could get Notre Dame at double digits, why not? For a team that probably has the easiest path or that controls their own destiny the best. LSU, Garrett Nussmeier going to be there. Go Tigers. And again, will be a force in the SEC. And then Florida at 45-1 was a number that really jumped out to me there. And next to South Carolina and probably more correlated, Dave, with some Heisman Trophy odds. But yeah, those dark horse candidates, Notre Dame, the Irish at 12-1, LSU 20-1, and Florida at 45-1. Those are some of the longer numbers that I wrote down that really jumped out to me.
Yeah, I'm with you. And again, on the short board there, it's hard to get away from Texas. And when you've got a Manning playing quarterback this year at plus 550 there as a co-favorites with Ohio State, I understand that's going to be very chalky for a lot of people out there. But again, I think that Sark has finally... Has he answered the questions for Texas football? Maybe it's never good enough down there. I'm not exactly sure, but he's answered them for me. And I do feel like Texas is certainly going to have to be a team right there, as you mentioned, with some of the perennial big boys now. I think we can put Texas in that category. Look, a team that, if you listen to me last year here in the network, you all know that I was barking up the tree of Kyle McCord and Syracuse and all those future tickets cash. I did have one long one that did not, 100-1 to win the ACC. I felt it was still a good play. That one didn't get home, but all those future other tickets did. So we were playing with house money. Look, I'm looking at Cuse this year, right? And this is, I talked about it with you all the time. Coaches that I trust. I got to tell you, man, Fran Brown has been a revelation up there in upstate New York for the Cuse. And for somebody that lived up there as a kid, and for people that forget, like Syracuse was a football school well before Jim Boeheim made them a basketball school. This was a perennial. You talk about some of the greatest players in college football to come out of Syracuse back in the day, going all the way back, obviously, the Ernie Davis and certainly the Jim Browns of the world. At 400-1, look, can they win the national championship? If Ricky Collins is three quarters how good of a college transfer Kyle McCord was at Ohio State to get there from LSU. This is a big-time football player. It's a big-time recruit that Fran Brown is getting. So to win the ACC, you want to play him at 70-1. I'm not going to get mad at you. That 25-1 number to make the college football playoff with the expansion, I think is a very interesting number for me. Again, I do not have any of these tickets in pocket yet, people. We're just taking a cursory look at it. But in Fran Brown, I trust. I like some of those long numbers for the Cuse. I think that team has arrived. By the way, Danny Higgins, our producer, he wanted us to mention Miami, the U. Do we think the U is back now? We just saw what happened. We got the number one pick in the draft here. Are we buying in that the Canes can survive the quarterback turnover here? Look, couldn't get it done with Cam last year. What do you make of the Canes? 30-1. Does that feel a little bit short to you?
Well, I mean, if Carson Beck stays on the practice field and away from the Cavender twins, then perhaps he could be right. So we shall see. But, you know, you can see J. Daniels coming over. You know, what does that receiving core look like, you know, without Xavier Restrepo there, too? So, hey, the ACC is going to have conversations. Hey, don't forget about old Dabo there, Kate Klubnik, too, yeah. And the Clemson Tigers. So, buddy, I cannot wait. The engines are fired up here to get moving to college football season, of course, NFL as well.
Carson Beck, shots were fired by the Twins. I mean, oh, my God, if you heard that video. So just take it for what it's worth. By the way, right now, Early Bird Special. It's up and running, $175. We'll cover you all the way through the Super Bowl. The aforementioned betting guide will be out July 1st. Daily best bets, exclusive betting splits, access to the VSiN Watch app, VSiN.com/subscribe.